Well, it's come time for our last message on this Friday morning. We have been blessed this week again to have Brother Tom Gillum with us. And I'm going to ask Brother Tom to come around and end up the morning session today. And you pray for him. He's going to take us, I think, to the book of Mark and give us another one of them pictures. Amen. It's got Jesus in it. I love you, brother. Amen.
Mark's Gospel, if you have a Bible this morning, you'll find a text there. It has been a joy to be here this week. Where did time go? Seemed like we just started, now we ended. We thank the Lord for all that He said to us, and the good preaching this morning, the good singing. And Brother Cody, there's one problem with your trip that you took us on this morning. We had to come back. But there will be a day when we go. And we ain't coming back. I'm glad of that, aren't you? It's going to take you a while to digest all that over there. I'd say a zillion years just to start with to get it all together. But I have enjoyed the preaching and all the singing. And appreciate you guys allowing me to be here again this year. I do not take this place for granted. I tell you all to support this place. It's worthy of your support.
Yes,
and if you got a little money during the year, they'll take anything. You can send them a dollar. They'll take a dollar. And just help this to keep going on. For the glory of God. We're going to be in Mark chapter 6 this morning. We've been looking at Mark. He seems to tell stories, frames them in a picture setting. And the fascinating thing about all of Mark's pictures is that Jesus is in them. And we have looked at several of them. We looked at the lady with the issue of blood, and we found in that story that Jesus is our propitiation. And then he told his disciples to come apart, and we noticed there that Jesus is our perseverance. This morning in Mark's Gospel, chapter 6, and beginning to read at verse number 32, the Bible says, "And they departed into a desert place by ship privately. And the people saw them departing, many knew him, ran afoot thither out of all the cities. Out went them and came together unto him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people, was moved with compassion toward them, because they were sheep, not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, This is a desert place. Now the time is far spent. Send them away, that they may go into the country round about, into the villages, and buy themselves bread. For they have nothing to eat." I'd like to take this little section of scripture this morning as Mark frames this picture of Jesus and preach on the thought that Jesus is our persuader. Jesus is our persuader. He is constantly persuading his people. What is he persuading them to do? Is persuading them to get closer. I have never, ever had God tell me I was close enough.
Never.
Zero. He's always told me, hey, you get a little closer. Get a little closer. Get a little closer. Here in this story, they have seen him depart. And in verse 33, they are running along the edge of the sea to meet him on the other side. And as they go from village to village, they're collecting people. And by the time they get to the other side, it has grown to around 5,000 men, plus women and children. Yes, they're in pursuit of him. Jesus, our persuader. I did not know if you know this or not, but there's a grave difference in coming to Jesus and running after Jesus. Many in our Baptist churches have come to Jesus. They've made their little professions. They've prayed their little prayers. There's a grave difference in running after Jesus.
Come on,
being a God chaser. He will continually persuade you to draw nigh to him, get closer, chase after him, pant after him, crave him. Matter of fact, he'll demand that you enroll in school, studying Jesus, seeking to be like him. As we unpack this text this morning, I am drawn to the enrollment. How could I get in this school? I noticed for them, they was drawing nigh by them to him. I was wondering this morning, are you actively involved in trying to get as close to him as you can? Because it'll cost you. That will not just, you will not be walking along one day and say, whoa, man, I could have got close to Jesus and I didn't know how it happened. Oh, no. You'll know how it happened. Since they ran unto him, drawing nigh, great difference in coming to Jesus. Many of you have come to Jesus, but you're not actively involved in being a God chaser. Running after him, pursuing him, craving him, panting, seeking after him. I've got to have him. Not the Baptist, not this, not that. I've got to have him. That is constantly his persuasion. I have found the more I crave him, the more I'll rave about him. Are you listening to him? The reason why you don't ever open your mouth and rave about him is because you're not craving him. Amen. The drawing nigh by them to him. But watch this. There is the drawing by him to them. The Bible says in verse 34, and Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them. And he says because they were sheep not having a shepherd, and he began to teach them. He saw that they were craving him, and he went to craving them. He saw that they were panting after him. He goes to panting after them. Matter of fact, he says, I think I'll just be their shepherd. Amen. He says, I'm just going to put in them I don't want for nothing spirit. He says, I think I'll just take them and lie down in green pastures with them. He says, I think I'll lead them beside some still waters. He says, I think I'll just continually to restore their soul. I'll lead them in paths of righteousness for my name's sake. He says, when they cross Jordan's river of death, I ain't sending Gabriel, I ain't sending Michael. He says, I'm going to go down there and walk across with them. He says, I'm going to give them my rod and staff. He says, every now and then, he says, I'm going to prepare a picnic up on the mountain. And he says, I'm going to let the enemies surround the mountains while we have a picnic up on top of it. He says, I'm going to anoint their head with oil. I'm going to let the cup run over. He said, and after they crossed the Jordan, he said, and look back, he said, they've been a-chasing me. He says, they're going to see that I've been a-chasing them with goodness and mercy. You interested in being a God chaser this morning? These people were God chasers. I have never had God to do anything else in my life but continue to press me to get closer. He never tells me, that I'm close enough. He never tells me that there's not some room between me and him and I could get closer. The enrollment for teaching. Have you enrolled in this school? I ain't talking about no salvation. I ain't talking about salvation. I'm talking about enrolling in school. Are you daily involved in studying Jesus? That's his persuasion constantly. You got to get closer. You got to get closer. Enrollment for teaching. But I see there is an inquiry about teaching. Notice the inquiry to the teacher. They make an inquiry to him while he's teaching. Somebody raises their hand. You've been teaching all day. Way late in the afternoon. Somebody raises their hand. And they make this statement in verse 35. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, "This is a desert place. Time is now far past. Send them the way that they may go into the country round about and into the village and buy themselves." What? They've been in all day school now studying Jesus, and they forgot to do what? They forgot to eat. You know good and well they weren't Baptists. Because some of you are already looking at your watch and telling me how much longer I've got. Are you listening to me? Inquiry. Days far spent. Church people often have to get out at an exact time. I talked to a man the other night. He said, since COVID, their church has not started back Sunday school. They hadn't started back Sunday night nor Wednesday night. In the words of my dear friend, they ain't serious about church. Are you listening to me? Ain't no God chasers around there. God chasers want to come all the time. Even just a small group, they'll come in there with you and go to chasing after God. Love the little story that I read some years ago. Young preacher took a parish there in England. The church clerk gave him a list of all of the members so he could familiarize himself with their names. And sometime later, he went back to the old clerk and he says, "My," he says, "it's an educated group we've got here at the church." He says, "I don't know if I understand what you mean." He said, "Well, they all behind their name, many of them have the SMO degree." He laughed. He said, "Oh, that just means Sunday morning only." Really what he was saying, I ain't a God chaser.
Come on, Tom.
Wouldn't it be wonderful if we would stand on the shoulders of those that have come before us in being God chasers? I was thinking about some of the reformers and Puritans that lived during the 1400s and 1500s. One was exiled into Geneva. He was running for his life because of the preaching of the gospel. 3 years later, he was allowed to return to his church. And he had been preaching for several years through the book of Isaiah. And his first Sunday after 3 years, he stepped into the pulpit and took up in the verse that he had left off when he left 3 years ago in Isaiah. Continuing to chase after God. Another one of the Puritans was in his bed, bedridden for a year. He couldn't get up. And when he was allowed to arise again and go to the house of God after a year, he took back up in the verse in Micah that he had left off before he left, continuing to teach his people how to chase God, how to pursue after God, how to pant after God. I want to do that, don't you? I want to be a God chaser. Old Martin Luther said that if the Bible was a tree, every verse in it was a branch, He says, I've tapped on every branch in the tree to see what kind of fruit it would bear in my life. Would you testify this morning that you have tapped on every branch in this tree, see if it bear any fruit in your life? Are you listening to me this morning? I did a biographical sketch some time ago of John Huss, a man who gave his life for the gospel, for the sake of the gospel. I read in his life story that he taught his people the imbibing of the scriptures. I thought to myself, what in the world kind of crazy thought is that? Imbibing of the scriptures. And so I went to the old Webster's dictionary and looked up the word imbibing. It's a word that used to be addicted to alcohol. He taught his people to get addicted to the Bible. Any people here this morning addicted to the book? I notice some of you don't even have a copy of it with you, so I don't know what you're addicted to. You left your stuff at the house. You might need a fix before you get home. You'll get the DTs or something. Are you listening to me this morning? There is the inquiry to the teacher. But I notice there is an inquiry from the teacher. You know, whenever God takes you to school and teaches you, it's always going to be a test. Of course, I was in the 10th grade 3 different times before I learned you ought not take tests without taking notes. I notice a lot of you don't take notes. You're going to get a test on this material, whether you took notes or not. Some of you will say about a month from now, man, I wish I could remember what Brother Gillum said in those morning services. If you'd have jotted something down, you might could look back on it. But he inquires to them. They come up and say, hey, listen, this crowd don't have nothing to eat. What are we going to do? Here's the test, verse 37. He said, why don't y'all feed them? Ruh-roh. Man, they've been counting heads. Wow. One of them says, well, we got maybe 200 pence. Here's about $35. He said, $35 ain't going to feed this crowd. And one says, we got 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Ain't nobody going to feed that crowd with that. So they have come during this first test. They've come to this deep conclusion. And the more I pursue after God and the more I run after God, 50 plus years, I keep coming to this conclusion to all the tests he sends me. Without him, I can do nothing. Amen. They have come to that conclusion. We can't do it. Amen. Without him, I can do nothing. But notice the effects of the teaching. I notice they see him in the midst. The Bible says in our text in verse 39, and he commanded them to make all to sit down by companies upon the grass. They sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. One Bible writer said that the Jews were known for their colorful clothing, bright colors. So here, maybe around 15,000 people, because we'll just give them one wife. You know they had 6 or 7. We'll just give them one kid. You know they had 15 or 20. So we just got 15,000 people right out of the gate. And he's got them in little groups all over the mountainside in the grass. One writer said it looked like a flower garden all over the side of the mountain. And right in the middle of the flower garden, the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley. Oh, when you go to scrooching up to him and getting close to him,
He can make a flower garden out of your most trying times. I can't do it without him. And here comes the lily of the valley. Here comes the rose of Sharon with help just in time, in the nick of time. Oh, they saw him in the midst. But I see in our text that they see him as the mighty. Verse 41, and when he had taken the five loaves and the two fishes, he looked up into heaven and blessed him. He asked the blessing. That is a good reason for us to ask the blessing. No matter where we're at, and you don't have to, you know, you don't have to do that. He asked the blessing. And then the Bible says that he broke the loaves, gave to his disciples, fishes. And he among them. This little word break here, two different things of break. One is the word for subtraction. You keep breaking off the whole until the whole is gone. That's not the word he uses. It is the word of multiplication. Every time he made a break, he had a new loaf. Every time he broke a fish, he had a new fish. I love the hound out of that, don't you? You'll never find our Lord. If you're running after him, if you're pursuing him, you're panting after him, you'll never see him in a subtraction business. Oh, no, he's always in the multiplication business. I love that, don't you? And the Bible says here in verse 42, and they did eat and were like Thanksgiving afternoon. I'm stuffed. I can't eat no more. You sure? I got plenty. I love the hound out of that, don't you? Watch the text. The Bible says that verse 43, he took up 12 baskets full of the fragments and of the fishes. The Bible says in verse 45, and straightway, that's immediately, he constrained them to get on the boat. So we got 12 disciples. He got 12 baskets. And he tells them to get on board the ship. What are they going to do with a basket? I believe they set a basket now. Storm will come up. They're rowing. Ship rocking and rolling. What happened, basket preacher? I believe basket fall over. I believe bread and fish all over bottom of boat, all over bottom of sandals of disciples. And here they are. They're standing on yesterday's blessings, wondering if God can take care of them today. Don't we do that a lot? Seen God take care of us for ages and wonder if he can pay the power bill this month. Honey, if he can't pay the power bill, I wouldn't trust him to take us out there where Cody was talking about this morning. That's a long ways out there. You're listening to me this morning. It's very clear that that was the whole problem. He says in verse 52, for they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. They had not taken in what they had been taught in school. Matter of fact, it wasn't just a little while later in Mark chapter number 8 that it comes up again. It says in verse 4, and his disciples answers him, for whence can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness? They doubting again. And here, they got more means and less people. Last time, they had less means and more people. It's going to be a little easier for them. Well, I don't think you can do this out here. You can't take it. You can't feed that many people. He done it one time. What keep him from doing it again? Our pursuit of him. I was thinking about that means. It's awful deep. I don't know if you can get this. If I want to put anything in the hands of those men over there, I can't do it from here. Unless I'm going to chunk it at them. And there's a possibility that they're going to miss it. But if I want to make sure that they get it,
I got to go over here, and I got to try to get as close to them as I possibly can, because I don't want them to drop nothing that I'm going to hand them. So you've got to get close. See, your means is worthless. You, without him, you can do nothing. But you're going to have to get up as close as you possibly can to put it in his hands. I love the way the old songwriter puts it. I am thine, O Lord. I have heard thy voice. And it told thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. All the pure delight of an hour spent alone with thee. He says that I cannot know till I cross the narrow sea the depths of thy love. There's one highest of joy that I cannot see unless I rest in peace with thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, O Lord, to thy cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, nearer to thy precious bleeding side. I asked you again this morning, are you as close as you want to be? Or do you feel like you need to scrooge up a little further? Do you know anybody in your life, in your orb of contacts, that's walking afar? Wouldn't it be good this morning if you were to get in this altar and call their name? And ask God to go and whisper to them, hey, you need to get a little closer. That's why you're having all the problems you're having. Draw nigh to God. Hey, have you ever enrolled in the school of studying Jesus? Got plenty of seats available. Of course, you got to remember, the only way you can graduate from the school is to die. I'm talking about Jesus. Is our persuader. We're standing, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. We began this morning about him pursuing us. We're going to end with a thought about us pursuing him. I wonder where you're at in all that pursuit. Maybe he has pursued you here this morning. You realize you're lost. You're in need of a Savior. You realize you're on that slave market. The devil's a-fixing to buy you. Maybe you need to come do some business with God. Maybe you realize this morning it won't take long, maybe a few moments of your time, just to reach out a place in this altar and, Lord, I need to get closer to you. I realize it. While God's a-speaking, while God's a-moving, while they're a-singing or playing the instruments, altar's open.